Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Solemnity of All Saints 2009.
A reading from the Book of Revelation. I, John, saw another angel come up from the east, holding the seal of the living God. He cried out in a loud voice to the four angels who were given power to damage the land and the sea. Do not damage the land or the sea, or the trees, until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. I heard the number of those who had been marked with the seal, 144,000 marked from every tribe of the children of Israel. After this, I had a vision of a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation, race, people, and tongue. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation comes from our God, who is seated on the throne, and from the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They prostrated themselves before the throne, worshipped God, and exclaimed, "Amen, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders spoke up and said to me, "Who are these wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "My Lord, you are the one who knows." He said to me, "These are the ones who have survived the time of great distress. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
The Lord's are the earth and its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
Who can ascend the mountain of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? One whose hands are sinless, one whose heart is clean, who desires not what is vain.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face.
He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, a reward from God his Savior. Such is the race that seeks him, that seeks the face of the God of Jacob.
Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face. A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you, and under every kind of evil falsely against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Father Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we're here and we're going to discuss these readings, and probably even this feast is probably a good, or solemnity, I should say, is a good thing to discuss. if I could speak today, to discuss. We're not going to disgust anybody, but we will discuss. We are celebrating the Feast of All Saints.
Right.
And Dawn, do you know anything about the Feast of All Saints? Or would you like, oh, you want me to, I think
well,
that's my cue.
No. We should have talked about this before we began. No, just kidding. I was just thinking that maybe we should explain why this isn't like the 31st Sunday in ordinary time. All of a sudden we have a fancy name coming in. Why does that happen?
Oh, well, that's a good thing, too. There are certain feasts, we call them, in our calendar. We have different types of celebrations in our liturgy, in our liturgical calendar, for different saints. And like many celebrations we have in our own lives, some of them have more and some of them have less priority. So, you know, for a lot of people, someone's, you know, 50th birthday or 25th birthday or, you know, 25th anniversary is more important than, like, their, you know, 22nd birthday or something because of the nice round number. But also other things, too. Sometimes birthdays of, you know, our parents or our siblings might take higher priority over birthdays of our best friend's third cousin. So, and the church recognizes that we have certain days which are more solemn than other days. And we rank our feasts. And
so I was just going to say, for example, on October 1st or October 4th, it was the Feast of St. Francis, but it was a Sunday.
Right.
And so we didn't sell, it wasn't a solemnity versus
right,
All Saints, which is today, is a solemnity.
Right. And what happens is every Sunday is always considered a feast of the Lord, and it's a solemnity in itself. And so for something to take precedence over a Sunday of ordinary time, it also needs to be a feast that's a solemnity, as we call it, which are our highest ranking feasts. And the Feast of All Saints is a solemnity, so it's called the Solemnity of All Saints. Whereas someone like Francis, as much as we like him, isn't quite as high ranking where we'd put that over a Sunday. He might rank over some other saints or something, especially if you're a Franciscan, but in our calendar he doesn't rank over a Sunday. So
if my birthday is April 1st and it falls on a Sunday, I'm sure that it'll be a solemnity.
That would rank higher than the Sunday of ordinary time, yes. Yes. Dawn's birthday is very high on the calendar.
So, well, now that we've gotten that straightened out, can you tell us what this day is all about?
Oh, so you turned the question on
me,
I noticed. Look at that. It is. It's about what it says, All Saints. And part of what it recognizes is the fact that we on earth don't know who all the saints are in heaven because we haven't been there, and we recognize certain saints who we believe it's been confirmed for us are in heaven by the work of their miracles and things like that. But there might be plenty of people in heaven who we don't officially, you know, have a special day set aside for. We don't know that they are there, so to speak, or some of us might know and others might not. Mm-hmm. And so what we do is we set aside this day for all the people in heaven and all the saints in heaven who don't have their own special day, so to speak, and we recognize their prayers for us and their constant intercession for us here on earth. And so it's a way that we can recognize basically any saint who might not be otherwise recognized on the calendar.
Very good. So that's why we have these readings like the Revelation reading and the Beatitudes and things like that.
Right, right. We're honoring all these saints, and certainly as you're talking about the Beatitudes from the Gospel, the blessed are the poor in spirit, those are the Beatitudes for people who don't know that name. And one of the things that we say is these are qualities that are given to most saints. You know, most saints either have been, you know, poor in spirit, people who were meek, people who showed mercy, those types of things. And so it's great because these are kind of the qualities really of any Christian. And of course, we'd say any saint would have been a good Christian, at least we'd hope. And so these qualities here can really pull out the qualities of any saint. They're, in a sense, generic enough that, you know, where we could say somebody like a Francis might have been, you know, real big into corporal works of mercy or something like that, or someone like a Benedict might have been someone who is real into prayer. These things here kind of cover all of those charisms, and pretty much the charisms that any saint would have shown some of these charisms, we would hope.
It's sort of like almost pointing us how to be a faithful disciple. And so these saints are modeling the true gospel living for us. And, you know, I think about when we sing, we often sing the Litany of Saints on All Saints Day. We also hear it at the Easter Vigil, at big holy things. Anyhow.
At ordinations.
At ordinations, yes. And so it makes me think about how, you know, it's, these are saints, obviously, but they were also human beings at one point in their life, and what they model for us, and things along that line.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. And one of the things, too, I think that's real important to remember is that the saints were real people. Mm-hmm. Because so often we speak of saints as if they're like these people who we could never achieve their status. Well, they were real people. So, you know, the model should be like, well, if they can do it, we can do it. It should be an encouraging thing, not something like, well, you know, I'm not a saint. I can't possibly, you know, live up to these values or something that Christ put forward. You know, it should be something that encourages all of us. And we say, especially when you look at some of the saints, like I'm taking somebody in my mind, like an Augustine, for example, who was kind of a wildfire, kind of a wild child for a while.
Right.
And, you know, somebody who is going off committing pretty much every sin you can imagine, and he writes about it, and all of a sudden has a conversion experience and converts and transforms his life so that it becomes more holy. And I think that that's the great thing about the saints, is they're not these people whose we can, there's no way we can be like them. Jesus, on the one hand, we could kind of get away saying that because Jesus is God. We could say, well, you know, he's God. He could do that. I can't do that. But the saints give us models who are just like us in everything, including sin. Mm-hmm. So whereas Jesus had no sin, the saints were sinners too, but they found a way of overcoming their sin or renouncing their sins, or even sometimes they're the ones who admitted their sins the most and recognized that they were sinners, and that's how they became saints. But the important thing, I think, is like you said, is they're real human beings. They're real people, and they give us this wonderful model of how we, as real people, can live this Christian life in our own lives, these Christian ideals in our own lives. They're not something that are these unachievable ideals, but they are something that can be lived in our very own lives.
You know, I'm sort of wondering if today's All Saints Day, I know, well, if Sunday the 1st is All Saints Day, the second day is All Souls Day. What is the difference, and what are we celebrating?
Well, the different All Souls is slightly different in that the saints, of course, we recognize as being those, anybody who is in heaven is certainly a saint. All Souls Day would really be recognizing just that, all these souls, which would be including, I think for us, the important thing would be the people in purgatory who might not yet be in heaven, who might have lived a good life worthy of getting into heaven. If you're in purgatory, you will get into heaven. It's kind of like being in the waiting room, but you're guaranteed to get in, at least. You know that. But it recognizes basically all people. The other thing is saints are people who have completed their lives. All Souls Day, you know, very technically, I have a soul, you've got a soul. Actually, not technically, we do. I shouldn't say it's like a technicality here. But we all have souls. And so we recognize any being that would have a soul, whether we're still on earth, whether it's the angels in heaven, although we do recognize some angels as being saints as well.
Oh yeah, that's confusing to me.
So it's the angels that are the saints, or Saint Michael. Well, again, they're souls in heaven. So,
right, I guess that makes sense.
So, but certainly All Souls Day is something that's even broader. It's one step broader than All Saints Day. And part of that is we remember that we're all part of this church. So we're recognizing, certainly some days we recognize, you know, certain people specifically, but other days we recognize, or these 2 days, I should say, we recognize kind of the universality of our church, that it's not just us here on earth, and it's not just those people in heaven, but it's all of us together that form this body of Christ, that form this church. And sometimes it's even people who weren't part of the church while they were here on earth that could be in heaven. Now, they're still saved by Christ, and they become part of the church by virtue of being in heaven, even if they weren't part of the church while they were here on earth. But there's no saying that you have to be part of the church here on earth to have made it into heaven. So someone like you take somebody like Gandhi or something, who most people would say certainly led a life of Christian values, right? I mean, whether or not he was Christian, a lot of the values he held were values that we hold. And certainly we would say that, I would say it's conceivable that Christ brought him to salvation, that he came to Christ, you know, after his earthly life was finished and is probably somewhere in heaven these days. But he's part of our church by virtue of that, too, that would mean. And so we'd recognize those souls as well.
None of us know the mind of God.
No, that's one of the things. I think that's scriptural, too.
Wow, I'm good.
Now, Dawn, before we end the podcast, I know you wanted to say something about the first reading.
Well, I was just mentioning beforehand how I don't know what it is about this reading, but it's from the Book of Revelation. Every time I hear it, I like get chills up my spine. It just echoes. I think it's because I visualize what they're saying there, and it's just makes me yearn to be in heaven. How about that?
And that's a good thing. We should yearn to be in heaven. And, of course, we hope that until you're in heaven, you'll be yearning to listen to our podcast and will join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.